Dr. John Link, superintendent of Jackson Public Schools, has had over 30 years in education and is now going into retirement. What has preparing for retirement looked like for him? And what has he been seeing lately with the COVID-19 pandemic as he prepares to leave the school? I spoke with Dr. Link.
What kind of things, as far as your retirement goes, what kind of developed in terms of that coming about now?
Well, I'm starting my 32nd year in education. I've been an administrator 25 of those 32 years and a superintendent for 19. And, you know, it's just one of those things to where there just comes a time where in education you can retire after 30 years. And I really enjoy what I do. I really love being around the kids. But I just got to the point where I want to spend more time with my family. My son just had and his wife just had a baby in Southwest Missouri. So I have a little bit more freedom to go back and forth and see them. And then my youngest daughter is a sophomore, and I just kind of wanted to be a dad for a couple years before she graduated. And the transition time was great. We're finishing up our junior high remodel and expansion, and don't foresee any major changes in the next year or so. So, you know, I felt like that this was just a good time. If the transition was going to happen, that it was a good time to make that happen.
All right. Could you also speak some about, you know, you mentioned that that career that you've got. Could you speak about your history at Jackson, but also prior to that, some of those details?
You bet. Yeah. I started out as just a high school basketball coach and PE teacher in Silex, Missouri, up north, and kind of transitioned to a bigger school in Bolivar, Missouri, and then to Salem, Missouri, where I got into administration. From Salem, I moved on to Hartville, Missouri, just which is close to Springfield, to finish up my master's and my specialist degree. And then that's where I got into being a superintendent. I was a superintendent at Hartville for 4 years before moving on to Fair Grove, just north of Springfield, where I was a superintendent for 9 years, finished my doctorate. Just kind of moving up that ladder of success to the bigger school. And not that I was looking for anything more than just trying to to have opportunities to succeed, to do some things that maybe the schools that where the position opened up, maybe try to take them to the next level a little bit. And I feel like I did very well wherever I was. And then the Jackson job opened up. I'm from Southeast Missouri. I grew up in Flat River, which is now Park Hills. So I knew about Jackson. I'd been to Jackson before. We played them when I was in high school. So I knew it was a great school. I knew it was a great opportunity for me professionally, but I really felt like it was a good opportunity for my family as well because of the community. My daughter at the time, my youngest daughter at the time, was a fifth grader, so it was a good time to transition her. My oldest daughter was in education. She wound up moving to Southeast Missouri, and my son was in college. So it was a good time for our family to make a transition. And just try to find our forever home. I really feel like Jackson is a great community, good place for us to settle down and retire. I don't plan to leave Jackson. I plan to be here and get involved more in the church and in the community and just to try to advocate for education from a whole different perspective as opposed to being the superintendent. I want to be able to be that advocate for the superintendent and for the teachers and students and see if we continue to increase the academic value of Jackson, the extracurricular value of Jackson, whatever we can do to make Jackson a better school district.
All right. You mentioned some of those projects wrapping up as you retire. Can you go into more detail about the process?
Yeah, we've had a busy 6 years. It seems like it started yesterday, but we're growing and we've been growing since I've been here. We're averaging anywhere between 120 to 140 new students a year at different levels. But when I first got here, we really wanted to take a step back and just kind of reevaluate Jackson schools and Jackson community and how we can draw those two together. So we just did a strategic plan. We brought a gentleman in from Virginia because I wanted to have someone who was not familiar with Jackson to kind of listen and see if he's hearing something different than what we were hearing. Those of us that were here already or had been here for a while, you know, sometimes your perception is different. So it was really good to bring somebody in that they really didn't know much about it, listen to the community, listen to the school personnel, listen to the students, and decide what direction we wanted to go. And that was such a great great thing to guide our district. You know, we put in several different options from that strategic plan. One of the big things that we really found at that point in time was the desire for our students to serve. And we had lots of gaps or lots of opportunities for students to serve within the district, but nothing was consistent or coordinated. So with that, we've been able to really focus in on social and emotional learning and getting our students to care about each other, to care about other people, to get out and serve other people. So that was really a huge thing for our district, and it's really continues to grow as we move on. Through that also, we just knew that we needed more space. We needed some facility upgrades, and it allowed us to build the J-Wing, which is our freshman. What we started out, you know, things changed. We started out thinking freshman center, and now it's just a big wing to the high school. But allowed us to expand our high school campus. There's not a lot of room there, so we had to remove a building to put a building up. You know, we were able to upgrade our facilities, our athletic facilities. We were able to really touch every facility in the district through our Prop J bond issue 3 years ago, 4 years ago now. We were able to expand the middle school. We were able to expand classes at North Elementary. We were able to do a lot of safety upgrades. We were able to enter into an agreement with the city to have school resource officers. We have five now. When I got here, we had one, so we've expanded that. And then we just made sure that we wanted to make sure that every building, any student in any building was getting the top line educational opportunities. So we've got a couple outline buildings. We want to make sure that they felt like part of the district. So really just kind of some I guess you would say some equity amongst the people, amongst our kids. And then this year we knew that we needed to upgrade our junior high. Our junior high is very crowded. You know, our numbers are to the point where we have about 900 students in our junior high, grades 7 and 8. So this year what we've done is we've expanded a new library, a new band room, which is going to allow us to take the existing library and existing band room and repurpose those for other classrooms to be able to give us more space. And then we were able also, through the Federal Emergency Management Area, to get a FEMA storm shelter and put that at West Lane Elementary. So they got a gym that is also good for the community because people in that area can use that facility whenever storms approach. And whether it be during the day or during the evening, we have that building open for our community. So I think, you know, there's lots of great achievements, but the one greatest achievement, I think, is just bringing the school and the community together as one, building relationships with other entities within our school district, with whether it be our faith-based organizations or whether it be our city or whether it be our Parks and Rec or whether it be just business partners, and being able to grow not only Jackson Schools but Jackson Schools and the community.
So one of the other things I'm kind of thinking about is, you know, as you have, you know, led this school during this semester and, well, last semester, of course, as well, what kind of experience has that been during the pandemic for you all?
You know, dealing with this this virus is really, it's just a daily issue, maybe an hourly issue. We really, you know, you might think that you have a plan for tomorrow, but until you get up the next morning and see what's happening, it's hard to go. And that's kind of the hardest part of being an educator because, you know, in education, we're pretty systemic. We you know, you start school in August, you've got pacing charts to get through this amount of material until May, and when May rolls around, you're done, and you graduate, and you have summer, then you start again. And in this situation right now, it's kind of an infinite world. We don't know the rules. We don't know when it's going to stop, if it's going to stop. And it really really presents a lot of challenges in trying to, you know, to be safe in order to get our kids to school, you know, making sure our bus drivers are safe and having enough bus drivers, making sure that our teachers are safe and having enough substitute teachers, and, you know, making sure that we're doing all we can on campus to keep our campus safe. And knowing that we can do all we can from 8 to 3 to keep people safe, but know that from 3 to 8 they're going home and we don't have any control. And, you know, we're seeing, as anybody, everyone is having right now, and there's a big spike right now. But one of the things that we're very proud of is we took our time and developed a plan. We didn't rush right out and say we're going to do this or that. We put together a plan. We put together certain points throughout the summer that we had to do certain things in order for us to be able to move forward. And by setting those benchmarks, I think that allowed us to set back, take a good look, talk to people, discuss it with things. I call it, we throw spaghetti on the wall and see what sticks, because nobody knows. There's no game plan for this. There's no superintendents you can call and say, hey, you know, what'd you do during that pandemic 20 years ago? It's, you know, everything's new, so we're really learning as we go. But by setting those benchmarks and having a plan in place, it allowed us to get off to a good start. It allowed us to probably do some things maybe some others weren't doing. So we're in the day number 53, I think, now. So we started out winning every day. You know, hey, let's get through day one, let's get through day two, and now we're at day 53, and we're moving on. And you know, one of the things at Jackson is, you know, we've got 5,600 students, and we got about 900 adults, and it's almost like a little town in itself. But we know that in order for our community to continue to strive and move forward during this pandemic, we've got to keep going if we can, because we don't need to shut school down and place that burden on our families out there. They need to have a place to go so they get their job done. So it's very important that we are on top of it every day, looking at our numbers, making sure that we have the right people at school. Those that are sick, they're staying home. Parents have been just great. We've had great communication with our parents and with our staff members that if they're not feeling well, they are staying home. And you know, even though we are seeing a spike in numbers right now, we really are still not seeing any school spread. Everything that we see is coming from the community, whether it be a parent or a grandparent or a sibling that's sick in the home, and that person then has to quarantine. And we've had a great working relationship with our health department, which also has been a plus for us. So, you know, long answer to a question, but it's hard to explain to people the daily stress of what we're doing, but we've got a great team of school leaders here and teachers and students and community, and we feel like we're really doing some good things right now.
So with the COVID-19 pandemic, with how this has gone, and you know, that over 30 years in you know, education, I imagine, you know, you probably face some challenges as far as school districts go. How do you think that COVID-19 stacks up in terms of, you know, kind of the things that you've seen, you know, faced in terms of education in the past?
You know, I had somebody ask me that the other day, and, you know, I told him, I said, you know, when I started in education, there were no cell phones. There, you know, computers were limited. We didn't use them. We didn't have email. We didn't have text messages. Obviously, we didn't have social media. And I've seen that evolve through the years, and I've seen challenges, you know, from my first year of principal was the year of the Columbine shooting. So then I've been through the school safety, the assessments, the new assessments. And, you know, we started out as school leaders being managers, you know, just kind of taking care of business. Then we became instructional leaders. Then we became safety resource officers. And now we're relationship builders, I believe. And, you know, I think when we step back and look at it, one of the things that I really try to do and have tried to do through my career is to look at every situation as a challenge as opposed to something negative. So I started challenging our folks back in March when we shut down, and then through April. We started having conversations about, you know, when school starts back in August, it's going to look different, and it needs to look different. If it looks the same as it did in March and we've had this much time in between, then we've done a disservice. And I really think that even though the stress of the sickness, the stress of, you know, obviously concern for the well-being of our people, and then, you know, the whole mask issue, whether to or whether not to, I think when we put all that aside, I think we're going to come out of this pandemic with a new sense of direction for education. I think we're able to, through this process, I spoke to a group of superintendents last week, and I talked to them about, you know, this is a good opportunity for us to open our cupboard and see what works and what doesn't work. And if it works, let's spend more time with it. If it doesn't work, then let's find something that works better. And, you know, because we don't have the luxury of going to professional development like we used to. We don't have the luxury of putting – well, we do, but we shouldn't be putting in a whole lot of new plans right now, a whole new programs right now, because we just don't have a lot of knowledge of how long we're going to be in before we have to shut down if we have to go virtual. And then we've had to do a lot of training on what virtual looks like. And we have a lot of teachers that are just, you know, they're trying to teach on campus, they're trying to teach virtual, and they're just simply just tired. So we've got to find ways throughout the school year to give them breaks. So while we have all that going on, I really think that, you know, it's a good time to look at public education and say, how do we take public education to the next level? We've proved that we can do a virtual class. We can do virtual school. So how do we take that, and when the pandemic's gone and we're back to some sense of normalcy, how do we take that to enhance education? You know, how are we able to offer different things for our kids at different levels through the use of technology, as opposed to just using technology on a 7-day school period? So I think when it's all said and done, and you look around the United States at schools and how they have different schedules, different blended schedules, whether it be a block schedule, whether it's a regular schedule, whether it's some schools are at home some days, not home some days. And I think when you take all of that and you put that into a box and look at it, I think we'll find some ways to make education better through this. You know, we have to do more with less now, because we know funding's down, because the revenues are down, because, you know, we shut down for so long. And again, that's a good opportunity to look into the cupboard and say, okay, this works, let's keep it. This is not working, let's move that over here. And I just think it's a great time to reflect on the history of education and what really does the future of education look like.
All right, that about wraps up everything I've got. Did you have anything else that you wanted to add that might not be able to ask?
No, I think you've covered everything. You know, I just say that, you know, in my 32 years of education, it seems like a long time, but it seemed like it went very fast. But, you know, Jackson's a great place. I'm very proud to be the leader of the school district. We have great support. We have a great school system and great students, and just proud that to be a part of that. And I just hope that we continue on in the right direction. And I appreciate you guys giving me a call and letting me kind of talk about what I see in education. I like that. I appreciate it.
We've been speaking with Dr. John Link, superintendent of Jackson Public Schools, about his more than 30 years in education and his preparation for retirement, along with the COVID-19 pandemic.